When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
97. Right, we're going to get that out of the way now before I forget, because as I get further into this sentence, I'm going to forget what episode we were on. Right, we are back. It's Ready Player 2. We've got all the hosts, every host here. I'm going to introduce them in a minute. We are on episode 97. We are creeping inexorably closer to episode 100, which is... Don't make strange movements, Ross. You're distracting me. We're getting very close to episode 100, which is a milestone that I think at one point none of us thought we were actually going to reach. We have planned for episode 100 about 6 different times now, and almost every time we've decided to go on one hiatus after another. But we're here now, and we're really, really close. So this is a filler episode in which we're going to talk about very little, just so we can get closer to the magic number. And we've got everybody here, and I'm going to introduce everybody just in case you haven't listened to this podcast for some reason before, which would be understandable because we disappear every now and again. I'm Rich. I'm the host. I do apologise for this most of the time that we do a recording, but I'm not going to do it this time. We also have Elle.
Hi, I'm three raccoons in a trench coat.
Okay. We also... Where did that happen? We also have Lewis.
Hello. I am also three raccoons in a trench coat.
Why is everybody... We also have Lee.
I'd have nothing to do with raccoons.
Do you own a trench coat?
No.
Yes, he does.
Actually,
he does.
I think, it's in my age group, really, isn't it? I should really get one.
Well, Lee's just a consummate disappointment. And we also have Ross, who I presume is at least 12 raccoons in a very long trench coat.
I'm just one massive raccoon.
What?
Really long trench coat. I'm sort of life-size raccoon.
Disappointed in both my quantity of raccoons and my apparel now. Right. We've all got stuff to talk about. We decided a few episodes ago that we were going to go largely freeform with these episodes. We weren't going to take any kind of format. We used to do this try-hard thing where we wrote down stuff that we were going to talk about before the podcast, like really sensible, organised people. And we'd have like a news section and a Nintendo news section. And for some of those sections, we had jingles. And it was a whole thing. And then we did like bits where we had a section where we talked about something poignant and recent.
Point of order. This is not in the script.
Well, I'm explaining that we don't have a script. This was the height.
I've been listening back to those old episodes for episode 100 research, and we used to be slick as fuck.
What are we now?
Well, I mean, a shambles. Oh. A pack of raccoons talking randomly.
So even though we've decided we were going to go largely freeform, and even though we've decided we're not going to do news anymore, I'd like to jump in very quickly, off the hop, and mention something that one/all of us may not fully be versed in, but something that's happened in the gaming world very recently, which is the Activision Blizzard explosion, internal HR explosion, bleeding into external everybody explosion, where Activision Blizzard have been outed as a bunch of misogynistic pricks. Which is Super Fun Happy Times, and has absolutely pissed right over the only game that me and Ross were going to talk about this week. So, look, we've all seen at least a bit of this, right?
I sold all my shares.
Did you actually have shares?
Yeah, I did.
You actually genuinely 100% had Shadow?
I genuinely did. I loved Blizzard. Like, I wanted to work there 10 years ago. If you asked Baby L, where do you want to work? Where's like your dream place you want to work? Oh my God, I want to work for Blizzard. They give you swords if you've been there for 10 years. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
They have betrayed me to my core and they will have none of my money.
I think Baby L dodged a bullet.
Yeah, Baby L did. But I don't think I would have looked.
What's happened? I don't know.
Right, well, I love the fact that we are on the absolute bleeding pulse of the of the gaming industry nowadays. Elle, do you want to give the full form of what exactly has gone on here?
Yeah, essentially, working at certain places with Activision Blizzard for some female colleagues has been a very, very negative experience, to the extent where one lady decided to take her own life on one of the business trips.
Wow.
Yeah. There have been descriptions given by people. I'm going to say this right now, like, if this is like content warning, like skip ahead like a couple of minutes so you can avoid the nasties before I get into the nitty gritties.
Yeah, if you don't like World of Warcraft, skip
just
ahead, like, folks.
Skip ahead, just be like, fuck Blizzard, like, they're just bad folks now. Yeah, so that over and done with, because I was like, oh my God, I just mentioned someone unaliving. So basically, there were female members of staff who would be micromanaged to a very severe extent, whilst their male colleagues would be off playing video games. There were breastfeeding colleagues who were chucked out of breastfeeding rooms so that people could just have meetings in there. There would be office crawls. Cubicle crawls. Nice, lovely little bit of drink and then just crawling around under people's
so,
cubicles.
So, yeah, the male colleagues would get shit-faced and crawl around. Apparently, there must have been like a gap between the cubicles underneath the desks.
Yeah.
And they would crawl around and grope women underneath the desks as they went through.
And not to mention having intimate photos of female colleagues and just passing them around at the work meetings.
So they
have not heard of porn websites.
They apparently talked down to the feet. It was a whole atmosphere. It was an environment where it wasn't only okay. It was actively encouraged to be in this horrifically toxic boys' club. And the worse you could be around female colleagues, and the worse it was, almost a race to the bottom by the sounds of things. And of course, this is based on the reports that I've read. Like, I've got zero idea how many of these have been. But it looks very legitimate from where I'm standing, and a huge systemic issue.
Activision are being sued by the state of California. Yeah. Like, that's how severe it's gotten.
Two-year investigation. If you want to read it, I would suggest reading the court documents, because they go into a level of detail which news outlets won't. Don't read the Activision Blizzard statement that they put afterwards, because it is absolutely enraging. Save yourself the trouble. They basically go, well, some of it's not true. You literally missed the entire point.
We're not that bad.
It's being blown out of proportion. I don't know. Like, intent and impact are two very different things, and you might have meant certain things one way, but they've certainly been taken one way. So
cue the a few bad apples conversation now, which inevitably comes out of almost anything like this. But then, so all of this absolutely appalling behaviour has then dredged up the systemic problem that female colleagues had anyway outside of that, which was getting the right earnings for the job that they were doing comparatively compared to their male co-workers, and progression permanent contracts, progression within their job role due to length of service, etc., etc., etc. So there was a ton of that going on at the back end, in which they were being absolutely shafted, and then at the front end they were being treated horrifically and it was being allowed to happen. And all of this is come out, and now lots of the outlets have essentially said, we will not cover any Blizzard Activision IPs, products, games, services at all. Now we are not touching them until this has all been dealt with, until the problem has been solved.
Oof.
So yeah, that's a whole thing that's happened.
What a great day to be a woman again.
So yeah, so that's the thing. So me and Ross have been playing an awful lot of Call of Duty.
Oh, no, but yeah.
I don't... You see, this is a weird thing now, because... So I've seen a bunch of outlets have all said we're not going to be covering anything Blizzard Activision until this has all been dealt with, and they've even decided they're going to take a relatively light touch when it comes to talking actually about the court case and the events, or even sensationalising things or reporting anything to do with it other than the hard facts to do with the case until it's all been dealt with. So now we're in this position where, well, I mean... What's the right thing to do? Do we talk about it to make sure that the awareness is raised, or I mean, or do you say, do you do nothing? Do you say, well, fuck them, they're all obviously bastards, and it's just a weird old situation.
Well, that Blizzard were proven to be scum some time ago.
That was to do with the wasn't that an esports thing to do with some of the
protests?
And
so they,
I haven't touched a Blizzard game since then. Not because I'm principled.
Essentially,
you accidentally didn't touch Blizzard games since then.
Essentially, I think one of the competitors or one of the hosts, commentators, said something that was supposedly political, and Blizzard essentially said, like, yeah, you can't do that, and... penalized him for it. I think they might have sacked a commentator, and then the winner of the tournament, I think it was an Overwatch singles tournament, they disqualified him and took his winnings off him. Well, or didn't give him his winnings.
So there seems like a great big we're right, you're wrong ethos over at Blizzard Activision that is aired now. And is it's such a weird thing, because this is way back to the Joss Whedon thing that happened very recently, which is you love a product that somebody or a group of people have made so much to the point where it actually changed you as a person, which sounds so stupid and soppy, but it's true. Yet years down the line, turns out to be an absolute a-hole, or in this instance, a gaggle of a-holes, and. You sit back and think, well, do I hate that now, or do I not hate that now, or am I allowed to like that now?
I think you're still allowed to enjoy the product, but just with the understanding that it was made in a toxic environment and it will forever be tainted.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole thing, like with the wonderful Wizarding World and She Who Will Not Be Named. Mm. It's like you can very much acknowledge that she is a TERF and separate the thing that she made and what a lot of young people actually got from it, because a lot of the LGBTQ plus community found a home within that intellectual property. And not to take away any of their feelings, like, completely own that, like, that's yours now, it doesn't need to belong to a TERF. It's your own thing. You can just choose not to support them fiscally, or you can choose to speak out against them, because I mean, it's not like you're going to run out and buy another like 6 copies of the same game that you've just bought or you bought years ago. It's the same.
An author is only responsible for part of the story. When they put the words on the page, when you read them off of the page, you're responsible for that part of the story.
I mean, a similar thing happened fairly recently with Scott Cawthon, the guy behind the Five Nights at Freddy's series.
Oh, really?
So it basically came out that he was donating a significant amount of money to Trump and anti-LGBTQ politicians. I mean, that's a slightly
but it's different the same matter thing.
Because it's slightly different because he's also donated a lot, like 3 or 4 times that amount to children's charities and LGBTQ charities, for instance. So, I mean, that's a bit of a tough situation, like. But, I mean, he's just stepped away from the games and has handed the reins over to the franchise to someone else. So, but yeah, I mean, going back to the She Who Will Not Be Named, I mean, like, I was a big fan of that product, even to the point where I've got a tattoo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, it's incredibly tough. Like, what do you do? And ultimately, I bought the books secondhand and I bought the DVD secondhand. And then not putting, I'm not putting any extra money into her pocket. So, but
I think bringing that around to Warzone, Warzone's a free game, which we don't, we just play in the game. We're not giving them any money for it. I don't buy it.
I mean, sorry, that was where I was kind of getting to. Like, obviously, Warzone's free to play. So you're not putting any money
in his pockets.
Yeah, you're not putting any money into that culture.
So here's an interesting point. And you know what? I'm not going to go too deep with this because I'm an incredibly shallow-minded person and I'm probably not going to be able to follow the conversation all the way through without getting lost in it. But So Warzone is a free game. And World of Warcraft, for example, you can play for free up to level 20. Like Diablo, I've already owned Overwatch, etc., etc. We can play all these games right now, right? By playing those games, you're increasing those games' numbers, increasing the popularity of those games. People see you on their friends lists playing those games. They might think, oh, wow, I didn't realize they were playing that. I might want to join in on that. They might not be aware of current events. They might not know what's going on, all this kind of stuff. And there's obviously microtransactions in these things. People are making money, otherwise they wouldn't be running the games in the first place. So at what point do you kind of go, I am so against this. I'm so against what's just happened that I am just not going to play any of these games. Like, you don't even need to go as far as protesting it, as going and speaking out necessarily, because people aren't comfortable to do that all the time. But just the act of going, I'm not going to play this game, and then potentially I'm not going to propagate other people playing this game, and I'm not going to do that until this has been sorted out, until there is an adequate resolution, one that makes me morally comfortable. That's a difficult thing to say because, and this is going to sound incredibly selfish, possibly because it is incredibly selfish, but then I'm being punished as well. So then you're at a point where they're punishing everybody. They've obviously punished all of these people that work with them. They're punishing the community. They're punishing the other people that are now going to get dragged into this that weren't part of the problem, but who are now going to have a lens shone on them because maybe they didn't speak up, or maybe they weren't even there or at an office that was involved in it. Everybody is now going to have a great big lens shone on them because of however many of these people had a huge problem. It's going to affect gamers, et cetera, et cetera. So look, here's a genuine question. Because I'm kind of happy either way, and this is going to be straight at Ross,
okay.
And also at L as well, right?
Ooh.
Will you continue to play their games until this problem has been solved? L first.
Oh no, let's go Ross. Ross is playing with it more regularly than me.
Yes, I will, because. It comes down to separating the art from the artist. I still listen to R. Kelly's tracks. I mean, the more issues there than me liking his music more than what he's done, and that's a bit different issue. But same with Michael Jackson. I like his songs. I can separate art from the artist. I still watch Chris Benoit matches, who is a murderer, a child murderer, but I can still enjoy his watching his wrestling. So
Gary Glitter, you're right. You're still all right with him?
Well, his music was shit. I don't listen to it. I have boundaries, Lee. Come on.
I like that your go-to was R. Kelly.
R. Kelly, he's got some awful stuff.
All the heavy hits.
I mean, yeah, he's got some stuff.
R. Kelly, Chris Benoit, you, I mean, you go
prisoning women, love his stuff. Some of the stuff he does. He's got some very...
Yeah, I wouldn't blame... I don't blame Ross for that, because ultimately, like, as I said, I've still read HP books and watched the movies, and it is a case of, if you feel comfortable enough to separate the art from the artist, then
my daughter loves the Harry Potter films because she's not aware of what J.K. Rowling is. She just loves the Harry Potter. She
and
loves
she
the wizards.
Need to be.
Yeah, she's seven. She can learn that in 3 or 4 years' time. She knows when she's old enough to learn what all that sort of stuff is. For now, I'm happy for her to live in this world where that's not an issue. It's just there's some wizards there. Go and enjoy the wizard. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What about you, Will?
And I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. They ain't getting nothing from me. I'm just like, you have fucking betrayed me for the last time. I think there's a point with me. because I am one of the people who will hold their hands up and say for 10, 12 years, most of my life revolved around playing World of Warcraft. I would have a sleep schedule that was matched to when I could raid, when I could do things. Like, it was such an integral part of my life, and I aspired so much to work in a place that had built something that inspired me so much. To have people build something with very, very little, from what I can ascertain from everything that they've fed back of forming Blizzard, in terms of Chris Metzen being just some guy in a coffee house drawing wonderful bits of art on napkin papers and being employed because just happened to be there and happened to get caught up in this wonderful fantasy of let's make a video game, let's make something big, wonderful, wow, what a world. And to have something that has inspired me quite considerably and has provided me with a sense of home and a sense of community, to find rot within something so core to yourself, it would be disingenuous to my personage not to rip it out in its entirety. To the point where I'm done. I think there's boundaries that you have to set in life, and this is one of them, until they address it in a way that is meaningful and actually shows considered growth. Because I think that's the thing. People do make mistakes, and 100%, I'm a person who believes that people can be at their lowest point and build their way up. I want to see that. Until they get to the point where it's like, okay, you understand the weight of the environment that you've built, they'll get nothing from me at all, whatsoever.
And not only the impact that it's had on the people directly, the impact that it's had on the people that work there, the people that had to experience it, the co-workers who are no doubt now going to be feeling guilt because it's something that they didn't experience directly, but maybe they should have been there to support the people that were experiencing it. They didn't notice, they weren't paying enough attention. And then on top of that, all of the girls and women who are watching what's going on, who are aspiring to move into the gaming industry in some way or another, who are now doubting their choices and wondering, what are they going to do? Is this the right path for them? How bad is this in other companies? It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's a weird... So for me, I went through something... So what you've just described, Elle, I went through not too long ago. So anybody who knows me knows that I am one of the biggest Firefly fans that you're likely to meet. So, and I rewatch that show multiple times every year. So since everything's come out about Joss Whedon, I haven't watched Firefly. I haven't touched any of the properties. I haven't... And for me, that's a weird thing. There is so much Whedonism in other things that I've done. My book has got a lot of that kind of... the character interactions and stuff. And a lot of that was kind of from him. From the stuff that he'd made before. And the interactions that he wrote in his characters. And it had an impact on my life. I love the show. I love the characters. I love the brown coats and everything that comes with it. And this happened. And I went, whoa, okay. What do I do now? Is it okay for me to like this now? Yeah. And then when you're watching it, it's always in the back of your mind. Mm. Was he being an asshole to her when this scene was shot? Were these people being... bullied with what, and it taints everything. It makes you feel bad. And you get past it, obviously. And it's not personally me that's been affected by it. It's all these people that have had such a horrible time with him. But still, you feel bad. You feel an essence of guilt then watching this, which is why I'm in the middle, right? So Elle's got one extreme. Ross is like, I don't care. I don't shoot people. It's fine. Everything's okay. Lee, Lewis, have you got a particular take on this?
I think it's just down to your personal choice, and I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think anyone that criticizes someone for choosing one way or the other isn't adding anything constructive to the conversation. So, like I said earlier, I wouldn't criticise Ross for listening to R. Kelly or watching Chris Benoit matches, and I certainly wouldn't criticise Elle for cutting all ties with Activision and Blizzard, because they are personal preferences. I mean, again, as I said, like, the main one for me was Harry Potter, and it's, what do you do? Like, I probably haven't watched the films or read the books since a lot of the stuff about Rowling came out, or since she started, and I probably won't support any of the further products. But that doesn't mean that if someone said, like, oh, should we watch Prisoner of Azkaban or whatever, that I'm not going to say, well, no, you have to start from the beginning and watch all of them all the way through in one sitting.
Yeah.
So,
extended version.
Yeah.
No pauses. Get your peas in now.
No drinks for anyone. It's a tough situation. I think the main point is it's just going to end up being, it will always be a personal choice. And as I said, anyone who's critical of those people's choices aren't being constructive. They're not adding anything to the.
There's an important point on that as well. But I just want to hear from Lee if Lee's got a different point or.
Yeah, I as I listened to what Lewis said then and agreed with everything he said, I was mulling over how I felt about each one of these questions. And it's quite interesting because the last time that Activision and Blizzard were in hot water over the Hong Kong protests, I stepped away completely from all of it and I felt uncomfortable playing any of their games. But I'm also somebody that condemns Ms. Rowling for what she's, her opinions. I think it's, you know, she's a despicable person personally. But saying that, we've just started a Harry Potter watch through. But like we said earlier, she's not getting a penny out of me. I proper pirated all of those.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Ethical pirate, well done. So I think there's an important point here, and this is something that needs to happen. What we've just done is something that needs to happen, because the way that you as an individual react to these things happening in the industry is important, but the way that you talk to other people within your circle of friends and within your peer group about these things that are happening is also really important, because you need to understand the way that other people are reacting to things. And it sounds so weird, and there may be non-geeks listening to this podcast, why are you even here?
We do.
Who don't understand why people are getting worked up about these issues and social issues and social issues and things like that. They're an important part of our culture, of the way that we grew up and the things that we learn, and a lot of our character, our moral choices and other things have come from not the games necessarily, but the interactions with other people that we've had playing these games. And to have and not just games, but all kinds of media, sort of books and films and shows and everything, they all help us grow who we are. And then our interactions with our friends about those things, and it grows and it becomes a much bigger thing than the original source material. So not having these conversations and getting shut down because of it is the worst thing that can happen. Having these conversations, even if you have opposing opinions, in fact, especially if you have opposing opinions, is important, because the universal thing that all of us agree on is that what they've done is terrible. Mm-hmm. And we now need to come to terms with it and react in the way that we feel is appropriate. Which is really good, and it's brilliant. This is the way that adult discourse is supposed to happen, which is not the way that it's going to happen on Twitter. And if you think that the conversation, and to anybody who's listening to this, who potentially still has a twisted opinion of the way that people interact on the internet, just you step away from, find yourself a Discord, for God's sakes. Find yourself a closed group that you can have conversations and dialogue with, because Twitter is a mess right now. It is not a good place to be a lot of the time. trim it down. Strim out the people that are making the bad noises, and you'll find yourself feeling much, much better. But this is the kind of conversation that everybody's going to have, and this is the only way to stop this kind of thing from happening in future. Making sure that people are aware of it and the different ways that people are going to react to this kind of stuff. And you know what? This is brilliant because we've stepped away from this a lot for the past God knows how long. We've been talking about the games that we've been playing. We've been talking about what we've been doing personally. And there are wider things happening to the world. And we're not always on the pulse of it. You know, we don't always pay attention to the news and everything that's happening. But this is such a big thing. And it is also reflective of things that are happening within the industry that sometimes we won't even know about. There are definitely other companies at which this is happening that haven't been dealt with yet, and that's why this is really important to have these conversations.
This has always been the case.
Boom.
And that's all I've got to say about that until in a minute when I remember something else I meant to say. So look, we started on a brilliantly cheery note. I'm sorry to drag everybody into that cesspit, but this is the thing that we needed. I wanted to talk about it. It's really, I love talking to you guys about this, about anything really, if I'm being honest. But it's great. It's brilliant to hear the differing opinions and the different ways that people react to things. And I'm genuinely, even after all of that, I'm still kind of like, there is a really good chance I'm going to keep playing Warzone with Ross. And the main reason is me and Ross don't play very many games together. And so, aside from the podcast, a lot of the time, there isn't a huge amount of interaction.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like we've reconnected recently. You know, we've been talking to each other loads and playing loads of games and all this kind of stuff. I don't feel like I want to lose that. I don't want to take that away.
Absolutely.
But anything else, anything that I don't have to touch, you know, I'm not going to be going back to WoW. I'm not going to be going back to Diablo. I'm not going to be all of this kind of stuff. Diablo as well. It's all of them. It's Overwatch, even
right,
care about it. Hearthstone, Starcraft.
Yeah,
all of them. Yeah, I've really made a right old mess. Right, look. That's the thing. That's the topic. That's our serious grown-up topic for the year.
Yeah, done.
Promise not to talk about anything.
Half an hour on a serious topic. Look at us go.
Look at us. Bunch of raccoons.
just an entire sack of raccoons talking the political intricacies of the gaming industry.
Setting the world to right.
Okay, so we've spoken about serious stuff, and then we've spoken about some other serious stuff that possibly will or won't be in the podcast, but maybe in some extra special
Patreon.
Subscribe to the Patreon. if you don't know, which you're about to know, because I'm going to know you, we have a Patreon page that is like super cheap. Like, what is it? £2 a month?
£2.
£2. That's cheaper than Lee.
Yeah, I'm free.
That is cheap, right? And that, it's only a tiddly bit. And that helps go towards our hosting costs and cost of the software that we use to record the show, cost of wax for Ross and Lewis's heads.
Look at the shine. Patreon only content that shine.
Give me a look now. Are you getting self-conscious now, Lewis? No, it just goes. It's just little bits. We are not making bank out of this show. We made peace with the fact a very long time ago that we are not. This is not a career.
Do it for the love.
It's fun.
There are no prospects in this long term for us. We just really enjoy doing it. But if you would like to join the Patreon and get some extra content that you cannot get just through consuming the regular podcast, then feel free to hop along. Or if you just want to support us, then that'd be brilliant as well. So thank you very much for those people who have already signed up.
Patreon.com/ReadyPlayer2 to the number 2.
Thank you, Ross.
I was just about to say, and I'll find the link and say it at the end of the episode. But
we'll do that as well.
You beat me to it.
we'll do that as well.
Okay, so we, there's been serious things that are happening, but that's all right because we're going to talk about some game stuff. And I've played loads of things, but not a lot of it is brand spanky new. In fact, basically all of it is brand spanky really old. I would imagine that everything that Lee's been doing is brand spanking even older.
Much
more. Oh, my word. Right, Elle, we're going to go to you first, if that's all right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Is this unpreparedness?
No. Oh, my God. I've played 100 hours worth of games since last we spoke.
Holy crap.
Oh my god. So essentially my PC is getting on a bit and I wanted to be able to play more crunchy games. My PC is named Mumji. She's been with me for a very long time. But because of everything, graphics cards, all the components, PCs, prices. So I went over to the dark side and I've signed up to do Shadow, because I know that's something that we did previously. Oh my god, it's so good at the moment.
Really?
Holy shit.
So, quick question. How long did it take from you signing up to actually get your PC?
I signed up in December. I got access 3 days ago.
Jesus Christ.
Hell.
I mean, to be honest, having had a quick look through the Shadow subreddit, that's pretty quick. Some people are waiting anywhere from 18 months to 2 years.
That's a little bit of lag.
Holy shit.
It is, but now that I've got my grubby little paws on it, I have been able to play Baldur's Gate 3.
Which that was such a build-up. Did you build up for Baldur's Gate 3?
Honestly, El.
I've been waiting to play it for so long and I love it so much.
Even the Star Citizen or something.
No. God, no. Of course I was going to play Baldur's Gate 3. I've been waiting for so long. Oh my god. It's so good. It's still in alpha. How is it still in alpha? It's been out for ages. Finish your goddamn game. I've spent 50 hours on this, okay? We're only in chapter one.
I can feel myself going pink.
Now, think about it. I've only had this thing for three days.
And
I have
hours.
Spent 50 hours,
50 hours.
In Baldur's Gate 3. I've had to get the baby owl bear.
How many people have not managed to get their Shadow PC because they didn't do enough analytics on how much time Elle was going to spend on hers? Finished Elle's PC, sent it to her and went, right, lads, let's move on to the next three. We've got enough shared resources to pass on a couple of... Oh, what's going on? She just won't stop. There's 20 people sat around a monitor at Shadow going, when's she going to go to bed?
Why is it smoking?
Must get baby owl bear. Yeah, I freaking love this game. This is great. I think I've gotten all of the... I've sucked the juice from the carton. There's no drops left. You get to the end of like the main story plot of like chapter one and it says, ooh, careful. You're exiting early access. And I'm like, yeah, right, show me. Give it to me.
Show me the unfinished textures.
I'm ready. Send me in. And they give you this wonderful little video of, I don't know, someone who I assume to be head of Larian Studios in a full suit of armour being like, we're still working back here. I don't care. Give it to me. Give me the next one.
Elle blasted through this game so quickly she's hit construction signs. There's literally people running ahead of her with bricks. Jesus Christ, she's coming.
I fucking love this game. Well,
just reading the Wikipedia. So the first act is 25 hours, apparently. So you've done it twice at least.
Oh, I've squeezed every bit of juice out of it.
Save files created during early access will not be transferable to the completed game.
Well, oh well.
That's poor.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
I'm going to...
Just start again, dumb man. Another 50 hours, what's that?
Oh my god, she's going full Lecter.
Yeah, I freaking love this. The dialogue's amazing. The story's amazing. I mean, you were going to shove me into, you know, the Forgotten Realms. That's me done. I'm like, yes, this is amazing. But it's so well crafted and lovingly done. And if you've perhaps ventured into Dungeons & Dragons during lockdown and you like 5e... it has some wonderful story figures, specifically if you played Descent into Avernus. You know, you get all cool characters in there. You get mentions of Elturel. You've got loads of lovely Illithid Mind Flayer content, as you would expect. Baldur's Gate stuff, as the title would suggest. Yeah, I love it. I think it's amazing. It's so well done. And if you like the previous games, I'm sure you will like this one.
Well, so that's Baldur's Gate.
I've also played...
Oh, good God. All right.
How have you before found you time go into playing everything else?
Before you've got... 2 days and you've done... 3 days and you've done 50 hours. How have you played anything else?
This was before I got my Shadow. I played something that wasn't as crunchy.
Okay. How is Shadow itself?
50 hours, Rich. I think it's all right.
She's got her money's worth from it.
I have got my money's worth. They gave me the second month for free. So I was like, okay, yeah, sure.
I don't know what they've done now.
Well, they've created a monster. So I've got my iPad, which I run it on. I have my lovely little Bluetooth stuff.
You play it on the iPad.
Yeah.
All Patreon content. Oh my God. They're showing us all this stuff. It's all Patreon content. So go over there.
Just scoot it in.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, I streamed it off of my phone onto my TV. So I was sat there and I was like, oh, playing it on the TV. That didn't work so well because obviously this doesn't have so much crunch in it. And I've not found a way to mirror my iPad to the TV yet.
Yeah.
But being on the iPad is amazing because if you think about the footprint of an iPad, I can chuck that in my bag and go anywhere I want.
Yeah.
Just gaming PC on the go. It's absolutely phenomenal. And the actual app itself, the Shadow app, doesn't eat through my iPad's battery as much as I thought it would. I can get like a good 4 hours, 5 hours, maybe six, I don't know, out of playing a decent whack game just on
my
iPad.
That's pretty good. My daughter plays Roblox on iPad and it kills it within an hour or two.
It's wild. Absolutely wild. I love it. Features now.
See, this is really... So we were having a conversation. Myself and Lewis were having a conversation yesterday about how the player experience, the user experience of streamed games hasn't greatly improved since OnLive. So, and we were talking about OnLive in a vaguely favourable light, but OnLive crashed into the scene like a wet fart and made virtually zero impact whatsoever other than with people like me who actually spent money on it. But it had the micro console that you could plug into your TV and you could start playing streaming games directly to your TV. You could do it through your phone because there was an app. You could do it on your PC. Brilliant. Off you go. I played several games entirely all the way through OnLive. And yeah, there were artifacts and glitches and pops and stuff like that. But largely it was pretty good, really. Especially considering we're talking... 8 years ago, maybe now?
Yeah.
And broadband connections were not what they are now.
Yeah.
You know, and Wi-Fi performance was not what it is now. And so, fast forward all the way to today, and streaming games, even streaming games from my PlayStation locally to my PC, the lag on some fast games is pretty bad, and that's wired in. So the technology doesn't appear to have improved that much. And then Lewis did something, yesterday, which just dropped straight into this conversation. Now we have two people who are both playing streaming platforms. Oh, God, I don't know where you all are. I'm voguing now. Both playing streaming platforms, and they're actually working, right?
Well,
it's not like I'm not playing FPS games, but... I will be venturing into GTFO when I can kick my Baldur's Gate 3.
Let me know when you give that a go, because I've been waiting to give that a go for ages, and the only other person who could potentially play it with me, which is Drew, won't, because it's scary.
you just tune shapes. They're just different shapes.
Well, they are people shaped.
And scary shapes, though.
They try and use their teeth-shaped things to bite your face-shaped thing.
Yeah, pull trigger, be fine.
It's just another head clicker. So you've been doing Shadow, which you had to wait an inordinate amount of time for. And for anybody out there who doesn't really know, Shadow is a game stream service. But instead of like GeForce Now or Stadia or PlayStation Now or any of those others, where you can only play the games that are on that platform. So with PlayStation Now, you can only play PlayStation Now enabled games through PlayStation services. With Stadia, you can only play games that have been created and set up for Stadia. For GeForce Now, it's a similar thing. Shadow is one of the only ones out there, and there are others, but Shadow is one of the only ones out there that basically just gives you a full virtual PC online and lets you stream anything that you want. So you can install anything that you want on this PC, and you can use it to play your Origin.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
In games, if you're a sadomasochist, you can play your Ubisoft Connect, which I discovered yesterday is the new name for Uplay. Ubisoft Connect games on it. You can play Steam, you can play Minecraft, anything that doesn't need a launcher, all of that kind of business.
But it's not just for playing games. Like, so when I think it was you and I, Lee, looked at the demonstration, the EGX one year, which basically sold me on it for at least a couple of months, they were showing off being able to use like the full fat version of Adobe, not Acrobat,
Premiere.
Or like arty farty shit on like
productivity,
on like a tablet, or playing, I think it was Need for Speed, on Ultra on like a ridiculous kind of £100 laptop from Tesco's that would never work anywhere else. So it's more than just a game streaming platform. Like, it is a full working high spec PC.
Well, and this as well. So Elle, how much, if you don't mind me asking, how much are you paying a month for this?
I have no clue, because I pre ordered it back in December. I think it was £13, so £12.99 to like pre-order
A month? I thought it was like £27.
Yeah, I paid £24.99 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I bought it like my first month, which was £12.99. And then since then, they've changed their pricings because I was signed up to pay £12.99 per month.
So are you locked on that price now?
No, they went, "We're really sorry, we're improving our services, so our price is going to go up." And I'm like, oh, that's sad.
So, sorry to interrupt. I think they do like different tiers now. So you can get the tier that Ross and I used, which was, I think it was like a 1080.
Yeah.
And that's like 15 pound a month, or you can have like a big boy one, which is like a 3080 or whatever the equivalent, and that's the higher price.
So even if it is 25, even if you go for the full fat whack massive mama jama job and it's, let's say, £20 a month, right? A gaming PC nowadays, with graphics cards being the price that they are at the moment, is going to set you back what, 1500?
Yeah.
So 1500 divided by £25 a month, you would have to play on Shadow for 60 months in order for it to cost the equivalent of buying a gaming PC.
Yeah. And they will always add improvements. So as new technology comes out, which is inevitable.
So I will say that they did have the different tiers when I subscribe to it.
Right, okay.
I chose Shadow Boost. Sure, yeah, whatever. The one that was $12.99. And it's being replaced by Shadow, which is just like their overall overarching service, which will be £29.99 per month. But because I pre-ordered it, they gave me the month for free as well. So I was like, do you know what? Yeah, that's all right. I'll try it for 2 months for $12.99 and see if I like it as much as £29.99 worth.
Even at £30 a month, that's still 50 months worth of gaming for the equivalent of buying a new PC.
A convenient game. A
long time. Yeah.
That is pretty nuts.
Have you tried it on your PC yet, Al?
No.
Because one of the drawbacks that I found, and I know that they were working on it, was you couldn't do dual screens.
Oh, really?
Which can obviously be a bit of a pain in the ass if you regularly use multiple screens. So I don't know if they've added that or not yet.
I remember you installing that.
You can copy paste through it though, right? I don't think that'd be a problem for me because I could just have the Shadow on one screen and my desktop on the other screen and just use the web browser on my desktop and use the Shadow on the other one.
Yeah. I remember Lewis installing it at EGX when we went and you installed it in French, I think, the first time around.
Yeah, that was. So all the language, all the language settings were in French originally. So I had to go through the Windows setup and change everything.
Jeez.
So this is fun. Okay, right. So because this sounds really good, actually, I'm not waiting a year to sign up for the goddamn thing and wait for a computer to be delivered. But it does sound pretty neat. I'd be interested to see how it works on a PC, and I'd be interested to see how it works with something a bit more fast paced, like an FPS or something. And you know what? This is always the kind of thing that people are going to bring up. They're always going to say, "Well, it's not going to be able to play FPSs properly," and it might not. But
we'll see.
There are different platforms for different things, because in my opinion, consoles aren't capable of playing FPSs properly. It's entirely dependent on what you like playing and how you're happy to play. I can't play FPSs on a pad. I can play lots of games on a pad, but I can't play FPSs on a pad. Yeah. I've tried. It doesn't work
for
me.
You can get used to... I mean, it's going to add some inherent lag, but you can get used to that. That's quite easy to adapt to. I sat in right where I'm sitting now for 4 or 5 years with a 42-inch TV in front of my face as my main monitor. And that must have... I mean, that was not built as a fast updating screen. That was going to have some significant lag. I was fine. I never really cared because you just get used to it.
Yeah.
I think the only people that would have an issue would be people who would want to use it for, like, Overwatch or those sorts of
competitive
shooters. And chances are...
And esports and stuff, it's not going to be any good.
Yeah, and chances are those people are already going to have gaming PCs anyway.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a moot point.
Like with any gaming service, there is a type of game or a type of player that it's going to work for, and it's not going to be for everybody. You don't get every single type of game on a Nintendo Switch, and frankly, you wouldn't be able to play half of them on those tiny ass little controllers anyway. Doesn't mean it's not an enjoyable console, and the selection of games that you can play on it aren't enjoyable. Different platforms for different people. Speaking of different platforms for different people, Lewis has got a different experience, albeit slightly briefer, with a different streaming platform.
So, Rich and a couple of the guys that we hang out with on Discord started playing The Division yesterday, and Rich mentioned The Division 2 rather yesterday, and Rich mentioned that it's only crossplay with Stadia or whatever it's called. So I've always kind of been a bit I'm not really that fussed about Stadia. It's just not a service that ever interested me, but I thought I quite enjoyed The Division 2 when I played it on the Xbox, and I kind of wanted to get involved, so I gave it a go. I've got a 30-day trial membership, and I got a discount, so I think, what was it, £25 to £7.50 or something ridiculous like that?
Took the game from £25 to £7.50,
and it's great. Like, it's going to have drawbacks because we're playing quite a fast-paced first-person shooter or third-person shooter. But yeah, it's great. Like, minimal lag, and but it allows me to play a PC game with other PC players on my laptop, which is very, very old now.
What control scheme do you use for that?
So I'm playing with my Xbox controller.
I've got a Stadia controller. Do you want it?
Oh, yeah, that would be lovely.
I'll
thank
send
you.
It to you.
Smashing.
Oh, live stream trading. I love it.
Well, it just means that I need to get the Chromecast and I can play it on the TV then.
Mm.
So that'd be good.
You can't have my Chromecast.
Oh, is that how it works? You need to have a Chromecast separately to be able to start your controller through it. Okay, I didn't know that.
I think you can use it
on the PC as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. Like, it's with a lot of these services, like I found in the past, I mean, I use GeForce Now and that was for a couple of months and that was a bit of a ball ache to use, having to find your games and stuff, and you can only play games that are on their service that you already own. But with Stadia, like, it's kind of like using Netflix. Like, I literally open up the Stadia website, open the press play on the game, and I'm in the game. Like, I went through the process yesterday of signing up for Stadia, buying the game, and getting through the tutorial of the Division 2 before some of the guys who already had the game installed.
Jesus.
So, I don't think the guys, have you noticed any lag from my character?
Not noticed a single problem. It's literally like you're just playing on a PC.
So, yeah. I think my main criticism of it is the catalogue is lacking. Like, there's just not enough games. And the games
the Pro
are
is a scam.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the Pro is a scam. So you have to pay for Stadia Pro, which is what Lewis did. And that reduces the cost of certain games that you have to pay for, like The Division 2, down from, in this instance, $24.99 down to £7.50. Now, we're pretty sure that even if he cancels his Pro subscription or allows it to lapse after the 30-day free trial, that he retains access to that game.
I think that's right.
We think. Yeah?
Yeah.
That means that he's bought a game for £7.50 that he doesn't have to retain the subscription for and can continue to play it long after he's stopped paying the monthly fee. He can just play this game on Stadia like that.
Yeah.
Now, if you just had 5 or 6, 7 games on there that you wanted to get and you signed up to the Pro and bought all of them, or if they were on offer and you just signed up and bought them when you needed them or something and then had them in your library, you could fire it up and play all of these games without having to have a subscription at all. That being said, there are a bunch of games that you get for free as part of the Pro subscription. And apart from Hitman, which is the new Hitman series, the ones that they've wrapped up neatly into one great big mega game, the Hitman 1, 2, and 3, that they've kind of turned into a single World of Assassination game, I can't think of a single game on the Stadia Pro free games list that I would want to play.
No.
There's no AAA games in there. There's nothing that's got the gravitas that makes you want to sign up to the service as a subscription service. They are missing their killer app. That's what they need. They need something on there, like Doom or something like that.
I mean, there's Cyberpunk on there, but it's not a free game. Like, you still have to pay $60 for it. So
they need a draw. They need something that's going to get people to sign up.
So I was looking into it last night, and I think their main draw to it is Ubisoft Plus, which is another subscription service that then gives you access to all of the Ubisoft titles. So that's like $12 or $14.99 a month.
On top of
well, I don't know if you actually have to have a Stadia Pro subscription. If you don't, then I'd probably consider it because I could then pay, say I had it for 2-3 months. That's like, what, £45, and I could probably play, well, I would be able to play Watch Dogs Legion and Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah. And you'd have access to all the Division games and DLC, presumably.
Yeah.
Plus Like Ghost Recon Wildlands, and there's loads of games you gag.
I mean, I think I had a look, and there's like quite a few, probably 20 or so big kind of AAA Ubisoft titles on there. So,
I need to find out whether you need to have the Stadia Pro subscription to be able to play all of the Ubisoft games if you have the Ubisoft subscription as well. And that might be the way that they're trying to go. But I think all of this is going to get completely shaken up, or potentially is going to get shaken up, when Netflix drops whatever the heck they're doing with game streaming.
Yeah.
Because they're, and I would imagine, true to their tradition of disrupting things, I would hope that they're going to have some kind of model that is going to shake up the way that everybody's doing things. I would hope. But at the minute, as far as I'm aware, they're leaning into the mobile gaming thing, which is going to be streaming mobile games, or at least giving you access to mobile games or pay for mobile games as part of your Netflix subscription. Now, whether that involves having to download the game to your phone and playing it natively on your phone, or whether the intention is to stream it the same as you do with Stadia or something like that, they haven't made that clear yet.
I think it's still in the early days at the moment.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to find out what they're going to do with it. This is, what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Games streaming all over the place.
Well,
games for everyone.
I mean,
cross play. I'm playing one game cross play with you, and I'm playing one game cross play with you.
I mean, just going back to the Netflix thing, it's going to be interesting about whether you'll be able to play the Netflix games on consoles. Because obviously Netflix is available on the PlayStation platform and the Xbox platform.
Yeah, and that could potentially cause a problem.
Yeah, so I could potentially see them coming out with a Netflix box of some variety. I
need more little boxes by my TV.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Flixbox? Wait. No, they maybe
Flixbox. Shouldn't be. We were actually talking about we were leading up to talk about The Division 2, which is so good. So funny. There are four of us playing it in a squad, and it is so good. It's so funny. We're blasting through it. Me, Rich, and a couple of other guys, and it is absolutely brilliant. Like, that is probably the best 750 that I've spent for a long time, because I have laughed so much in the last, 4 or 5 hours over the last couple of days, if that.
Yeah.
It's such an improvement from the beta that Ross and I played whenever it
was. And from the released game that I played. I mean, I played it at release. I got it as a day one and played it all the way through. Lee, did you play this one with me?
Yeah.
And we played it really early in its life, right? And it was shonky. Yep. It was okay. Like, don't get me wrong. It was okay. But it had some really rough edges and a lot of bugs and annoyances and problems. And then when you got to the end of the game, it was just kind of like, bleh. That was kind of it. You didn't even make it that far. I don't even... but now it seems to be, well, I mean, we've not got a million miles into it, but it seems to be really polished, and we're just legging it through and having a great old time, just bantering everything. That's but this is
what we did with one, though, isn't it? Because when we played Division 1 together, or The Division together, we came into it like a year and a bit. Into it
probably even longer. We didn't start playing Division 1 until 1.4, which was at the time universally agreed the turning point for Division 1.
It was a polished game by then, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think I'm hoping that Division 2 is similar to that right now. There's a DLC that is out called
Warlords of New York,
which I bought, and I think you get access to with the Stadia purchase that you made as well.
No, I'd have to buy it, but it's $750 unless I go down the Ubisoft Pro route.
And it's not until end game anyway.
Yeah. Like,
I think it might have something interlaced in the middle, but basically it's not until the end game. But it gives a load of end game content and stuff like that. So yeah, but we're having a great time with it. It's fun. It's just a fun game. It's as long as you don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Same as any game.
Yeah.
Right, Ross is mouthing things at me. What are you mouthing at me?
I said that's the same as any game.
Oh, no. Before that, you went...
Did I? I don't know.
Maybe you're all right. You were windmilling at me. Like, pretty sure to do that. No, we need to move on. Okay. Right, we've spoken about loads of stuff. Alan Lewis, is there anything else that you want to talk about? Any of the games that you played that you want to talk about?
I've played a lot of Tetris. Like, a lot of Tetris. Like, probably an amount of Tetris that... would cause my neighbours concern.
An unhealthy amount. He was a nice guy, but played a lot of Tetris.
Yeah.
Always a lovely young man, but he does not play a lot of Tetris.
Yeah, so I recently bought a Wii secondhand for very cheap. Mm-hmm. And then I bought Tetris Party Deluxe, which is a brilliant Tetris game on the Wii. But I've also been playing a lot of Tetris Connect, which came out on Game Pass recently, which is superb. It's very definitely Tetris, but it's also a very definite different Tetris experience. Like there's no Tetris music, for instance. But yes, it's very good.
Tricky Towers is still the best Tetris game I've ever played. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tetris is the best Tetris game I've ever played.
What, regular Tetris? Are we talking game like
Boy
proper
Tetris. Game Boy, green
vanilla,
screen,
vanilla Tetris.
Communist Tetris? Yes. On the That was what it was. Yeah. That was what it was. Yeah.
God.
Okay, Elle, did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, really quickly, I played a lot of Sunhaven in my search for another Stardew Valley. It's all right, good for about 50 hours.
I'd pay for an hour or so.
50 hours?
Well,
people have relationships that last less time than that.
Let's go down and see, because it's just under 50 hours. How much did I play on it?
49 and a half.
3.
48.7 hours.
Jesus.
Close.
It's also one that is not finished yet, and I squeezed every drop from it, and I was like, yeah, it's all right.
I'm done.
How privileged are we as gamers that we get to go, I spent 50 hours on it, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's only because it's going up against something which I've played an inordinate amount of hours on. Like, we're talking, I don't know, 600 hours now across all the platforms that I have Stardew Valley.
That's the point where you go on Steam and give it a one-star review, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
400 hours in this game.
Like, yeah. You see somebody review bomb a game, one star, and they've got like 980 hours on there, and you're there going, okay, there must be a story.
Free to play as well.
What is this?
I've got 980 hours on this game, but they recently changed one of the characters to a woman, and I'm just not having it. And that's it. One star.
yeah.
Okay, right. We need to talk to other people. We need to talk to Lee.
Hello. What do you want to
know? Hi. You've been sat there being very stoic for the majority of this podcast.
That's the kind of character I am, though, isn't it?
No.
No, we've known you a long time.
No, it's not.
I'm glad everybody else said no before me, because I felt like jumping on you like that, but they didn't give a shit.
I've been keeping quiet because I haven't played any games.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing other things, though.
You've been doing good things for charity, haven't you?
I have been doing something for charity.
He's such a nice guy.
Charity, mate.
God.
I'm so old.
For the 90% of our listeners that don't understand that reference, then ask your parents. Okay. We've touched on my latest addiction of collecting old retro rubbish and making it work again. And I've continued down that road. And one of the things that I bought recently, which I couldn't pass up. Now, actually, I've got a question for people here, because I'm a little bit older than some of you. And I'm aware that you might not have come into the gaming sphere at the same point in time as I did. And and possibly not at the same point as I did in my 20s. But
most people didn't come into the world at the same time as you did.
So if we go around, Ross, what was your first games console computer?
C64 was the first thing I played games on.
I love it. So did you go from the C64 onto an Amiga?
No, I went straight from that to a Master System.
That's backwards. Anyway.
they were cheaper, probably.
Lewis?
I think it was probably an NES with Mario and Duck Hunt Multicart and Zapper.
Much earlier than I thought. Okay, Elle?
So it was the PC was my first gaming foray. And the very, very first game that I can recall that I played on the PC was an arcade game called Dig Dug.
Oh, okay. Good game. Rich, where was your first? I think I know. But...
We had a Binatone TV Master.
I've got one of those down here.
A Binatone TV Master, which literally the only thing that I'm ever aware that it played was Pong. Or a dodgy rip-off of Pong. But the main console, the main gaming thing that I remember was Dragon 32, which I still have.
Oh, there's a piece of history, a bit of Welsh history.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I entered the computer world right back at the start when they were invented, basically. So, but the ones that I'm really fond of are the Commodore machines, and I was on the Amiga, the Commodore Amiga side of the fence, and there is rumoured to be a bit of a division between the Amiga fans and the Atari ST fans. I never really experienced this because I didn't know anybody with an Atari ST, and I think that is mainly because just basically where we live is quite a smallish community, and the community of people that I knew, you know, gaming community people that I knew back then, all just got into the same game system at the same time, and so nobody got into the Atari ST. But anyway, we kind of were a bit sniffy about the Atari back then, and kind of unkindly, because it was fine. It wasn't as good, but it was fine. And recently, I spotted on Facebook Marketplace an Atari STE, which is a bit more of a souped-up one further down the line, for very little money, and decided I can't really pass this by. So I bought it, and and I've done some repairing on it, and I've had some fun with it, and it sparked something off. I then went and bought an Atari 2600, which is the first games console, basically. For those that don't know, it's the first games console that you could plug a cartridge into.
Miss Pac-Man? That's that.
Yeah, Pac-Man console? Came out on it. Yeah, yeah, it was a terrible version, but Miss Pac-Man's good.
Pitfall? Is that there?
Sorry?
You could plug a cartridge into the Dragon 32. What year were both of these?
I don't know about the Dragon 32. I'd imagine the Dragon 32 was probably 82, 83. The Atari 2600 was 1977. Which was a similar year to the Binatone, and I can remember going round to a friend's house, and I must have been about 10 or something, and playing it on his Atari 2600, and it is actually a system that I'm quite fond of, and I did really want to get hold of one, so I got one.
It cost $200 at release in 1977. $200.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a house back then.
The equivalent is $850 now.
Well, certainly a car.
Wow.
So I bought a working one, which is always a bit of a disappointment to me, because I really enjoy fixing things, and I've done this with quite a few of the systems that I've got sitting behind me. I got the Saturn, and I got the Dreamcast, and I fixed them, and then I put them in the box and I played them.
Send me that Saturn.
So I got another one. I actually won a bid on another Atari 2600 on eBay that I knew was very broken. Talking to a friend on Twitter, friend of the show, actually, Gothmog Plays, Matt. I don't know if it's Matthew or not. I should ask him, really, shouldn't I? He decided that he was going to give me another Atari 2600. And I felt a little bit uncomfortable about this because he's a very generous man who has also given me a PS Vita. And I have sent him some other stuff as well.
Is he buttering you up for something?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
beginning
to call whether he was in at one point.
Are you being grouped? Please,
call
the authorities.
Yeah, I'll show you on this.
If you're in trouble,
I'll show you on this doll where he touches me. He's a genuine.
I think we're well past grooming.
Definitely sounding like somebody who's angling for a reach around. I'm just telling you now.
No, I don't say a bad word about him. He's a really nice guy. He agreed that if he sends me the Atari 2600 and I make a video, part of the deal is I have to make a video on it. I can sell it for charity.
Nice.
That's well good.
And he's chosen the British Heart Foundation as the,
a worthy cause.
The recipient.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is I have to fix it, which I've already done. And we're going to sell it. We're going to auction it for charity. But I thought, well, you know, maybe we can do a little bit better than that. And so I've actually put out an appeal on Twitter for some extra bits. And I did have the... oh, there it is. I've got Lee Legion Smith, at Lee Legion Smith on Twitter. Lee Smith is another good friend on Twitter. He's providing some bits and pieces. He's going to send me some parts that I need for other parts that people are sending me that are broken. So I'm getting some joysticks from... I've forgotten who's sending me the joysticks, actually.
Arcadesy.
It is Arcadesy who's sending me... Oh, okay, yeah, Arcadesy's sending me some broken joysticks. That's right. I've got to fix those, so that's perfect. Another guy, Bobus74, who is my retro tech on Instagram, my.retro.tech. Yep. He's sending me a new case. Not a new case, but the case that I've got for this Atari 2600 is got a big chunks missing out the side. He's sending me a pristine case that looks perfect that I can do up and repaint the orange trim on it and everything. And there, I think Arcadia and Bobus74, My Retro Tech, is sending me some games as well. So even actually, My Retro Tech is sending me some boxed games.
Nice.
So the appeal is still there, and this isn't going to go out on, or this isn't going to go onto eBay for a little while because I've still got to complete the video and the restoration. So if anyone listens to this podcast who's in the UK, or even if you're on another part of the world and have loads of money. If you've got some bits and pieces that you can think of that will add value to this, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, send me some bits of gold or something, I don't know, that we can add to the auction to make people pay more money for this lovely
course. You're going to bling the keys?
Yeah, why not?
That's all the range these days, Rich.
That's what everybody wants. Atari ST with Vajazzle all over it.
Well, I'm going to have a spare case. It could happen.
What, you could have swapped it out like Nokia cases.
Yeah.
And here's my bling case.
Yeah, date night Atari and regular night Atari.
But yeah, so I've been doing that, and off of the back of that, I've started making videos again, which has been brilliant. So yeah, my YouTube channel, what am I called? More Fun Making It. That's getting old. That's now active again, and I'm making videos, and I'm really enjoying that. That's been great fun.
You finished the pinball machine yet?
No.
Cool, we're not going to talk about that. Straight past that.
I'm not even using it as a table anymore. It's got nothing on it.
It's not even a closed source.
Beer won't sit on it. It's really
no, it's on a slant. It's really awkward.
It's by design.
That's brilliant. That's amazing. Well, if anybody's listening and wants to somehow donate / surreptitiously get Lee's address, then then let him know on Twitter. Yeah, have you changed your actual Twitter handle now? Are you like at More Fun Making It?
No, or... I'm at ZZ Lee ZZ still.
BOG.
And you've got the 500 subscribers as well.
Yeah, I've just got 500 subscribers on YouTube. Just that was.
I loved your tweet saying you posted the $4.99. Ah, $4.98.
I nearly unsubscribed to you. If I'm being
Do you know who did unsubscribe to me, Lewis?
Oh, you bigger.
Yeah, so it did good. Make me laugh.
Oh, I love that both of you said I nearly unsubscribed.
Yep. You did it.
Lewis, going where other podcasters dare not tread.
Balls fucking deep on the unsubscribe button.
It was really nice because like after I saw it, I looked at it and I thought, oh god, 498, course. Yep. And then I got a notification. Lewis Knight has subscribed to your channel.
Ah, you little dyke!
Damn kids! That's brilliant. Oh, you're doing good things, like actual like awesome. Humanitarian things.
Yeah.
Philanthropist.
I'm not so sure about that. I'm having fun.
Oh, well, at least you're hiding behind doing humanitarian things in order to feed your own addiction.
Yeah, there's a thin veil of moral...
That's fine. That was all we can ever hope for. I don't even have a thin veil. It's all moral ambiguity and playing Activision games over here, mate.
Wow! Oh my god!
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, gamey wise?
No.
Gamey wise, or retro-y wise, or anything wise?
I've recently been told that I might be completing my collection.
Ooh. What do you need?
Ah, well, now, there's a negotiation that still needs to happen regarding that. I think maybe we should take this offline.
Okay. let's do it online, because then you can't back out the deal.
No, I'm definitely probably maybe. No, that's fine. We were having a conversation the other day, and I was like, how's it going? How are things, you know, what have you got? And what haven't you got? I can't even remember what we were talking about at the time.
I can't. It was this morning, but yeah, I can't remember.
It was a thing. Was it this morning?
Yeah.
Jesus. And as it turns out, what the only console that he's missing at the minute is an NES.
Yeah.
Oh.
And as it turns out, in my garage,
nice.
I have an NES complete with some actual games and the light gun, the Duck Hunt light gun.
Oh my god.
The whole nine yards. And I also happen to have, as luck would have it, a Dragon 32 that hasn't been turned on in the better part of 6 years, and I am fearful of doing so. I need somebody with the expertise and patience to solder things to possibly fix it up. There was a trade to be had.
Trade to be had and a deal to be done.
Yeah, exactly. It was wheeling and dealing.
Nice.
Possibly not really wheeling and dealing.
I mean, this sounds like a really rubbish deal, because Lee gets an NES and gets to fix something.
Yeah. I did explain this.
And you get something back that you've already got, but in slightly better condition.
That works, and I get the knowledge that somebody is getting entertainment and enjoyment out of something that I've just had to sit in my garage doing nothing at all.
So
Perfect.
What I thought I could do to sweeten the deal was give you this. This is a ZX Dandinator, and it's actually for the ZX Spectrum, and it's it replaces the tape deck, so it allows you to load things like you would from a tape deck. Now, obviously, you're not going to have, or you might have the tapes and things, but the chances of them working after all this time, it's going to be quite slim. This will actually work with a Dragon 32. And you slip in a memory card with all your games on, and you've got an earphone port on there. You connect the cable to your Dragon 32, and then away you go. It's got a little LED screen on it and some buttons to navigate.
Wow. And then you can do what? Scroll through and pick the game you want to load, and then load the game.
Exactly that.
That was an entirely accurate and true to form modem / game loading noise from the mid 80s. So I don't know what phase you're pulling there.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely wasn't a Doctor Who intro. Yeah, it was 100. Yeah, very similar to that. I think we need to move on. Okay, right, that's all your stuff and exciting things that might be coming my way, which is going to be great. Ross, have you got anything that you want to talk about? Any games? Anything?
Nah, I played Warzone with you. That's about it.
Brilliant.
It's a game rife with cheaters, and it ruins the game for me all the time, but I still play it regardless.
Rife with cheaters. Yeah. Rife with misogynists.
Yeah.
It's just a great game. Just a brilliant top shelf.
Yeah.
You're playing it for the social interaction, though, aren't you?
Well, exactly. Like you say, they're a release. They're a way to kind of blow off some steam after a day at work and whatever. And yeah, it's fun to talk to you. It's fun. Like, we played last night with a couple of my mates, and I play with my brother-in-law normally. I don't ever speak to him outside of Warzone. Never speak to him at all. He lives just around the corner. I never see him. I see him every Wednesday, every Sunday.
You ask me?
Yeah.
Sounds ideal.
We speak for 4 hours every Wednesday, every Sunday, playing Warzone. And
perfect.
It's good. Yeah.
I will interact with you if you are entertaining me or enabling my entertainment.
Exactly.
Other than that, fuck off.
Yeah, apart from that.
Because I married her doesn't mean I need to interact with you.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm playing a lot of that, basically. And it is good fun, regardless of what people at Activision do in their offices.
Yeah, or anywhere.
Well, yeah. Where they're up to. Yeah. I've played UFC 4, which is the worst copy and paste of a game I've ever played. And I've played every NBA game for the past 18 years.
I was going
to
say.
I've played all the ball sports.
They've managed to copy and paste but take stuff out somehow and make it a worse game than the previous generation, which is like some feat, actually. That's quite impressive.
That's copy and paste
that.
Without formatting.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah. They've taken out all the presentation part of it. It's all you're left with.
Oh, paste without style.
Yeah, it's just two men fighting. I like the whole presentation of the whole thing is what I get into it for, and it's not there. Rubbish.
Right, well, that was an entertaining way to finish the podcast.
I mean, I'm here to record the podcast, essentially.
Possibly I need to soundboard this before we start next time.
Maybe put that section, closer in the middle.
Well, look, I'll talk about something very quickly, because I haven't really spoken about me thing, because I spoke about the whole Activision debacle at the beginning. But do you know what? If, like me, you didn't really play Titanfall 1, and you were put off the entire idea of playing or getting Titanfall 2, because... you thought that it was an online multiplayer game. It was exclusively an online multiplayer game.
You're a fucking idiot. You need to do better research.
Single player's amazing.
I've been told by a bunch of people, Lewis included, that Titanfall 2 has got an absolutely excellent, and Lee, absolutely excellent campaign. And it was on a Steam sale, and Steam sale myself, like £4.20 or something like that. I was like, well, I better get it. And so I started playing it on Discord a few nights ago, about a week and a half ago or so. Blasted through the campaign in, two nights, something like that. It's a relatively short campaign. I would say it's somewhere in the region of about 7 hours worth of gameplay total, if you're quick.
The level where you're jumping back and forth through time is incredible.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
This campaign, if you've not experienced it, if you don't... Forget about Titanfall 1. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to even have played it. Doesn't matter. Titanfall 2 is completely standalone, unique campaign. Mm-hmm. If you're into Apex Legends, it is inside the Apex Legends world. It keeps the guns from the Apex Legends world, because that's where they got them all from.
Yeah.
So the Apex Legends gun, Titanfall 2 guns are basically identical. You will get a feel for the game, the movement, the style, everything about it is very similar to Apex. And because of that, I blasted through this mama jama so fast. so fast. But it was so good, so entertaining, really enjoyable. Brilliant game.
I would say it's one of the best. The best single player campaign games I played since Half-Life 2.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
And the multiplayer is really good as well. If you can find a game, it's really good.
Well, you can't at the moment, because apparently the servers are so bad with hacking that it's impossible to play the damn game.
Just a brilliant. And I was I came to this as not a fan of robot games, the big robot games. And I came to it late because of that, because it put me off for so long. Just one of my all-time favourite games.
Just keep an eye out for it on the Xbox Live Store or Steam or the PlayStation Store.
It's always on sale, isn't it?
It is regularly on, particularly on the Xbox, it's regularly on sale for less than £4, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? When so many people will tell you that something is absolutely excellent, it is sometimes a trap, because you go into it with such heightened expectations that you don't get the enjoyability out of it that you otherwise could have done if you'd have gone in a bit cold. I had very low expectations of it. Even though people have recommended it to me, I somehow couldn't manage to bring myself to heighten my own expectations of it to a level where it became a problem. But, not every game's for everybody, so you might not enjoy it, and it's not our fault if you don't, legally. But it was brilliant. It was absolutely, really thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's a great game to play with other people watching, streaming it on Discord and stuff as well, because they're all screaming at you, doing stuff wrong, and you're constantly jumping off edges and punching people with the force of 1,000 bullets, apparently. which was entirely how I played the game. I think I threw more punches than I did bullets in the majority of the game. It was great, great fun. Look, we need to wrap up. We need to finish. Unless anybody has anything groundbreaking and amazing that they want to talk about, in which case...
Nope.
You can't, because we're out of time.
Thank you very much. Holding your peace. We're out of time. We have been at Ready Player 2. This has been episode something, 97?
97.
Thereabouts. Episode 97. You can find all of us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. You can find me at Zebwin, that's Zebwen on Twitter. You can find Lewis
At Nuka Kong.
You can find L at...
Escaping IRL.
You can find Ross at...
Rossbelt 1984.
And you can find Lee at...
ZZLeeZZ and more fun making it on YouTube.
Brilliant. And do find him if you've got anything, or if you've got any interest in the retro stuff that he's doing for charity, because we're going to want people involved in it and bidding, if nothing else, and getting the hype out there so that he can get a great load of money for charity and you get an amazing piece of memorabilia that has, with all the videos and everything, to show how it all happened. We've got to go because we've been here a million years, but we will be back soon with another episode on our trudging way to episode 100. That's what I have to consider. I just said nice. You said things as though I don't know what's going on.
Not necessarily with us.
So just a quick shout out to our Patreon subscribers or Patreon supporters. So that's Christopher Coleman, friend of the show. And me and Elle.
Brilliant. Yeah, those are the
yeah! Well done,
but well yeah, done, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/readyp2, the number 2.
Yeah, we've not really publicised it too much yet.
No.
But no, we will do.
I don't even know how Chris found us.
Well, he stalks us. But thank you very much, Chris. Chris has always supported us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's been a staunch supporter of Ready Player 2 since the early days, so thank you very much, Chris. And Elle and Lewis, who have also been staunch supporters so much as they turn up every week. Right. That's it, we're done. Ready Player 2, episode 97. Elle, sing us out. Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Night. That song. It's always that song. It'll forever be that song. It's
did we go over
song.
The recording time, Ross?
No, we've got like 30 seconds left basically on my.
Yeah! Boom!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Bang tidy. Is that a thing?